has been having war with the son, Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, who's their king over the Israelites. Only one tribe is with David. That's Judah. And he's trying, Abner has a problem with Ishbosheth, so Abner defects and is going over to David. So he comes by and he makes an agreement with David, and he leaves after David and he talk. He gets a certain amount away, and Joab comes back and finds out that Abner was there. He calls him back, meets him outside, and kills him. David makes this lament over him. Died Abner as a fool dieth. The hands were not bound, nor thy feet put in fetters. Wonder how many of us go through life unprepared, thoughtless, knowing we have an enemy, knowing we should be paying attention to things that are around us, and we just let our guard down. And David said, that was foolish. Died Abner as a fool dieth. I want to look at the term fool this morning. Not an easy subject to look at. It's not fun. I find fool defined in the dictionary as one who is lacking in reason or the common power of understanding. An idiot. This was in the dictionary. An imbecile. A person with little or no judgment, common sense, wisdom. A silly person. A simpleton. Foolish. Lacking in sense or sound judgment. Weak in intellect. Unwise, imprudent. Acting without judgment or discretion. Silly. Vain, trifling. And folly. Weakness of intellect, a lack of understanding, sense, or rational conduct. I really don't want to be called a fool. Jesus made a comment, and I think it was in Matthew, he said, call somebody thou fool, you're in danger of hellfire. It's not a good thing to be a fool. But the Bible has a lot to say about fools, has a lot to say about folly and foolishness. And the first thing I want to say, I'm not trying to go after everybody, but there's some things I think need to be said. Foolishness is natural to man. It says in Proverbs that foolishness is bound in a child, and the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. There's two things there that you ought to think about. Number one, foolishness is natural. It belongs to every one of us. We all have it in us. We're born with it. And as good parents, you're going to drive it far from them. You're going to teach them better. And part of the problem we have in our society today is that parents aren't teaching their children to be unfoolish. Foolishness goes along with sluggardness, slothfulness, selfishness. I mean, all the bad things about people you can find out go along with foolishness. Foolishness is natural. Foolishness is also sin. It said the thought of the foolishness is sin in Proverbs 24:9. And the great God that formed all things both rewardeth the fool and rewardeth transgressors. Foolishness is sin. Even when David talked about his sin, he called it foolishness. When Amnon raped Tamar, she said that was foolishness, that was folly, and he was going to be like one of the fools in Israel. They called it folly when they raped Dinah, Jacob's daughter. Foolishness is sin. It's not something to be taken lightly. Paul talked about foolish jesting and foolish lusts. We need to be careful with foolishness. We should take it very seriously, not like it. Too many times we talk about April Fool's Day, we just take things lightly. God doesn't think it's a light thing. Foolishness. One thing about a fool, he does not desire wisdom. He's not looking for wisdom. It says, wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, saying he hath no heart for it? You can give it to them. One thing you learn out of in the book of Proverbs is that wisdom is out there. You can find it. It's available to everybody who wants to look for it. It also says that God giveth to all men liberally wisdom. But a fool doesn't want it. That's not a good sign. Find somebody that doesn't want wisdom, doesn't want the truth, doesn't want to know how to fix things, doesn't want to know how to walk right before God. He's a fool. You need to be careful of him. You need to be very careful of him. It's hard to teach a fool. A fool despiseth his father's instruction. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. How are you going to teach a fool? He won't listen. O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Are you teachable? That's an important point. Talks about the king, the foolish king, who will no longer be corrected. I may not have said that right. We need to be careful. Fools are a waste of time and energy. It's a waste of your time to deal with fools. How much time is spent dealing with people who just will not listen to reason? You don't want to talk to them. Curious, it says that the labor of the foolish worrieth every one of them because he knoweth not how to get to the city. He just walks around. He can't figure it out. He can't go someplace. It's just a waste to talk to him. It says also, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou be also like unto him. And the very next verse says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. All you're doing is back and forth and back and forth. You wonder why Paul said avoid foolish questions. Because it's a waste of time. You're going to go back and forth. You're going to tell him the truth and you don't want to listen to it. He's going to come back with another argument and you want to listen to it. Fools are going to waste your time. Fools are going to destroy your energy. Watch out for them. Something else, fools talk too much. The mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. A fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. Ouch. Ouch. They can't shut up about their own opinions. They won't shut up about their own opinions. And they won't listen to anybody else. The lips of a fool will swallow up himself. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. A fool also is full of words. Be careful. A fool is a sorrow to his parents. A foolish man despiseth his mother. A foolish son is a grief to his father, a bitterness to her that bare him. A foolish son is the calamity of his father. How do you get joy out of a fool? You raise a child, you try to teach him, or you don't raise him, I should say. A lot of people don't raise them. They grow up. They have no sense. They can't follow reason. They can't figure things out for themselves. They won't do what's right. They don't care about what you tell them. They don't care about reason in anything. It gets to be a real drag. I raised 3 kids. One thing I wanted and I purposed and I tried was so that they would grow up and know how to live by themselves in this world so that I didn't have to take care of them the rest of their lives. Or the rest of my life, I should say. The sorrow to his parents. A fool is dangerous. Let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man rather than a fool in his folly. I was talking to Michael this morning about bears. I think it was Michael talking to somebody. Maybe it was Lucas. Said he was watching this video on man fighting a bear. And to make a big deal out of it, he goes up and he beats the bear up and knocks him down and takes away his salmon and says, we get the very best salmon. Nobody believes that. Nobody fights a bear and wins. I mean, that just doesn't happen. And you get a mad bear, a mad mama bear who's been robbed of her whelps. You better be careful because she will tear up anything to get to him. She will tear you up. God says a fool in his folly is more dangerous than that bear. That is right. Watch out for foolishness. Watch out for folly. Don't hang around with them. It says, depart from them. It says, go from the presence of a foolish man. The mouth of the foolish is near destruction. A companion of fools shall be destroyed. They are dangerous to you. They're dangerous to your health. They're dangerous to your life. They're dangerous to your future. They're dangerous to everything about you. They're dangerous to your kids. Don't hang around fools. Teach your kids to be careful of fools. Teach your kids to be careful of reason. They're going to hear all sorts of people, and they're going to be deceived in a lot of things in this world. But you need to teach them to watch out for reason, because fools are dangerous. Foolishness. I'm going to come back to that one. Fools speak against God or against his people. It says in Job 1:22 that in all this, after all the destruction came on Job, he sinned not nor charged God foolishly. Then said he to his wife later, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. Be careful. Be careful how you think about God, how you consider God, how you react to God, what he tells you to do, what happens to you. Well, I didn't like that happening to me. I got sick or whatever. Who cares? God is in control. You say, well, you're not very compassionate. I have had to learn in my life to trust God for everything, even when it's bad for me, hard for me, difficult for me, painful for me. I am going to give God the glory because he's worth it. I'm going to do my best not to charge God foolishly. Fools ruin the reputation. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly in him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. Be careful of foolishness. It also says that the prophets who taught falsely in Israel before their destruction, that they're called by Isaiah and by Jeremiah, foolish preachers, foolish prophets teaching foolish things, foolish doctrines, foolish burdens, foolish causes of what's going on. You need to be careful that you follow what God says and not what just anybody out there has to say. Amen. People are talking all over this world and they're trying to get your attention. They're trying to get they're trying to entertain you. They want you to support them. They want you to follow them. And they will tell you anything in the world to get your attention and to get you to follow. But it's foolishness if it's not from the Word of God. It's foolishness if it's not what God said. He even made a point one time. He said, they're talking all this junk. They're telling you all these lies. If they would have just told you what I said, you could have been saved. But they wouldn't tell you my word. If they're not preaching God's word, if they're not teaching God's word, if they're not trying to help you to understand God's word, if they're not giving it to you straight, you need to be careful of them because it's foolishness. And foolishness will get you in trouble. Foolishness is from the heart. It's a heart problem. It says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. It's way down deep. And then it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Then also when I was reading about the fool doesn't want wisdom, it says his heart has no interest in it. His heart's not in it. Foolishness and wisdom is the heart problem. The Bible says that if you want wisdom with desire, you can separate yourself and seek out wisdom. You can find it. It's around you. It's available. You can find it. If you don't go for it, then you have rejected the word of God. You've rejected the counsel of God. You said, I want to be foolish in my life and do whatever I want to do. When I first started looking at this, I came up with my own definition, if you will, looking at what the Bible says on some verses. A fool is somebody who will not be motivated to change his actions because of coming events or what he knows is coming. Fools reject God because they don't want to change. They don't want to have responsibility. Brent was talking about responsibility last Sunday. We are all responsible. We have a responsibility to God. We have a responsibility to each other. We have a responsibility to ourselves to do what God says, to please God, to honor Him in our lives. And if we don't do it, or we refuse to do it when we know what's coming, and God says there is a judgment coming, there is an accounting coming, there is a reckoning coming, and if we don't do it, we are foolish. We need to be careful. I know the world likes to come up with all these ideas about, man, the Big Bang Theory and evolution and whatever, and they keep changing their lives, that's true. They keep changing their stories. They keep changing their theories. When I was in school, it was 4.5 billion years ago. Now it's 14.5 billion years ago. Even with 14.5 billion years, the science doesn't work, the math doesn't work, it doesn't fit. But we know there's a God. The heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Then in Romans 1 it says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. I wear a watch. I guess it's a fancy watch. Cheap. It's not one of those hundreds of dollars Bulova's or whatever used to come out of Switzerland. It's a Timex. It's lasted for quite a few years. But if I took it apart and put it in a box, all the pieces already formed, very carefully taken apart, put it in a box, put some foam around the side so it wouldn't break, and started shaking it, put it on one of those paint shakers or something, how long do you think before it would come together and start working? The logic is very clear. What we have in this world, what we see in this world, was created by somebody who knows what he's doing, who had a purpose in doing it, who has some intelligence and some power behind him, something that we can't do and something we can't even come close to. So anybody who rejects it is a fool. Okay? There's nothing good in the Bible, I should say. The Bible doesn't talk well of fools. Doesn't talk well of folly. Doesn't talk well of foolishness. It doesn't talk well about a lot of things that we do because we reject the Word of God. We reject the plain, what we know about God. Losing my words this morning. God has declared that I am God. I created this. I created you for a purpose. You know you were created for a purpose. And if you want to, you can reject me, but you'll be a fool if you do. Nothing good about a fool. So Abner died as a fool died. He wasn't prepared when he should have been prepared. He had killed Abner's brother. It was in war. It was in battle, but he should have known better when Abner comes up and has a secret meeting with him. His hands weren't bound, his feet weren't in the fetters, and he let Abner sneak up onto him and kill him. Don't be a fool, Bible says. But I got some verses I want to look at, just some thoughts that have been running through my head recently. Look in Luke chapter 12. Very famous, we all know it. Talking about the rich man in verses 19, 20, and 21. I'm going to start reading in verse 20. The rich man that built all the barns and bestowed all his goods because he had so much to do. And it said, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So as he then layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. A fool is somebody who doesn't make himself rich toward God. God said he's a fool. Does that hurt? Too many people I meet in this world and I talk to, and they're living life. Well, I'm saved. I was saved a long time ago, but I live any way I want to. I live for myself. I do anything I want to do. I have all the freedom in the world. I know I'm doing good. They think God is blessing them because they're doing good. They've got a good job. Things are going well. But they're not rich towards God. They're not interested in serving God. They're not interested in putting their time into serving God. They're not interested in laying up treasure for themselves in heaven. God says that's foolishness. We can learn something from this. I don't know if this man was a godly man. I don't know if he believed in God. I don't know if we would call him saved. I don't know anything about him except that he was a successful man. They said the grounds of this man, he had grounds, he had farms, he had barns, he had plenty, and it brought forth plentifully. And he said, what am I going to do? I got so much. Sounds like America, doesn't it? We bring forth and we've got so much. We've got so much that during a crisis when we've got, I don't know how many millions of people are out of work. We're helping support them as we keep going through. And we still got more and more and more is coming out. Go through my house and I got things coming out of my ears. But Eddie, are you rich toward God? Have you put some time and some effort into serving God? Have you put some time and some effort into pleasing God? Have you put some time and some effort into doing things that God says will bring you a reward? He said he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God is a God of rewards. God is a reward that wants to give you things so you can have them. He also tells the church in Laodicea, buy of me gold tried in the fire so that you may be rich. He wants us to be rich in glory. He says, lay up treasure up there. But you want to know something? We brought nothing into this world, and it's absolutely certain we'll carry nothing out. Only what is done for Jesus Christ is going to last. Only what we do for him is going to be worth it. We need to put some time and effort into doing things that God says has a reward. Interesting, Jesus said in Matthew, if you give a cup of water to a little one in the name of a disciple, you will not lose your reward. There are rewards to be had. There are things that you can lay up treasure in heaven. There are things that you can put together and make yourself rich toward God. And that's what you need to do. You need to be interested in that because you don't want to be a fool when the time comes and they put you in the ground and somebody comes up and starts preaching your funeral and says, he died like a fool. God said he was a fool. He wasn't rich toward me. Be rich toward God. Make it a point. Make it a part of your life. Make it your way you're thinking. Heard the comment the other day. It stuck with me. This is only temporary. We get so involved in this very temporary life that we forget eternity. We forget that there's going to be thousands and thousands and thousands of years to live with Jesus Christ. We don't even think we're going to be able to count the years that we live with Jesus Christ. And we're going to go up there and you want to be poor in heaven? You want to get there and you got nothing? You're saved by the skin of your skin and teeth? I can't even say it anymore. Don't be a fool. Make yourself rich toward God. It says, God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. Then look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3. Verse 1 says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only what I learn of you, received you the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith. Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? We need to be careful of our doctrine. You need to be careful of what this book says. You need to be somebody who studies this book so you know how to divide it, rightly dividing the word of truth. It said, give attention to reading. That's what Paul told Timothy. Give attention to reading. You need to know what this book says and know what the doctrines are so that when false doctrines and false teachers and false people come along, you say, that's not right. Can you tell? Have you paid any attention to it? I'm amazed at people. I talk to them and they claim to be saved. They claim to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They claim, but they know nothing about what He said. They know nothing about the truth. They don't know anything about following God, and they haven't really tried. You ought to be interested in trying. You ought to be interested in knowing what God said so that when somebody comes to you, you're not deceived and you're not end up being a fool because somebody told you something that sounded good. Prosperity gospel. Just I'm throwing this out. There's lots of examples. How many people are caught up in the attractiveness of if I live good before God, He's going to bless me. And so Americans must be blessed because we got all of this wealth. Do you ever notice that in Luke chapter 16, the rich man went to hell, the beggar went to heaven? God doesn't promise us all prosperity. What He promised us is eternal life. What He promised us is a reward in heaven. What He promised us is to watch over us. What He promised us to take care of our food and our clothing. He promised to watch over us in this life. But He didn't promise us wealth. He didn't promise us all these great things. And they twist the scriptures. And so many people fall for it because they don't know what God said. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, it says in verse 5, supposing that gain is godliness. How many people do you know that think that gain is godliness? But it's not. But he said the very next verse that godliness with contentment is great gain. Get the horse before the cart. Make God your priority. Make God your purpose. Make God your life. Make God your love. Make God the reason for your living and reason for what you do things, and so that you won't end up being foolishly deceived by false preachers and false doctors. Because they're out there. They'll tell you almost anything. There was one guy that irritated me so much, he would wake me up from a sound nap if he came on TV in the morning. Plant your seed, send me $1,000, and you'll get rich. I did. They're liars. They're false prophets, false teachers. Do you know the difference? Can you tell the difference? You should be able to tell the difference. You should be able to know. A couple other things I thought about. The law. How many people are going back to, well, I got to live a code. I've got to have a standard. If I don't meet this standard, then God's not going to be pleased with me. Talked to a lady the other day. She's worried about, well, I don't make it to church all that often, so God must not be happy with me, and I can't come back because everybody's going to be upset with me. I'm not. I guarantee you all the pastors are not going to be that way. Get in church. Do the best you can. You're going to have failures in your life. You're going to fall down. You're going to have to learn how to get up and go forward and let God forgive you, trust His forgiveness, and stand for Jesus Christ with your life. Amen. Don't be a foolish follower of false doctrines. Selfishness. I see this one a lot. Well, I'm awful busy. Nobody shook my hand when I went to church. Nobody is my friend there. I don't have a good, just somebody rebuked me. Somebody told me something I didn't like. Who cares? Who do you serve? Think about that, because that's the major point here. Are you serving Jesus Christ? Are you serving God? Are you serving yourself? If your feelings get hurt because somebody didn't treat you the way you thought you should be treated, you're out of kilter. You're out of right. You shouldn't be doing that way. You should be thinking about, okay, is God pleased with what I did? Who cares if anybody else knows it? David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God, something that when everybody else has left, I'll close the doors. I'll be there before everybody else is, and I'll open the doors. I'd rather be a doorkeeper and nobody knows who I am. I want God to be pleased with me. Get up and follow Jesus Christ. Follow him. Remember, you're not in this for your 70 years. You're in this for eternity. You're in this for eternity. This is only temporary. Give it all you got for Jesus Christ. Because that's where it comes. That's where it's going to matter. Give it all for Jesus Christ. Then look with me, if you will, at Luke chapter 24. I think we all know the story. Jesus has been crucified. He's been buried. It's Sunday. They found him alive and out of the grave. His body wasn't there. And the rumors are flying. And two of his disciples, believers, are walking to Emmaus. And Jesus walks up to them and joins them in their journey and starts talking to them and says, what are you guys talking about? I mean, apparently they were having a very animated conversation. All interested, trying to figure out what in the world is going on. They can't find his body. And they said he's risen. They said they've seen him. I don't know what's going on. So Jesus starts talking to them. And all of a sudden he says this. Verse 25. Then Jesus said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. That one really bothers me. Do I not believe what God has said? Is there something that I'm missing? These were believers. These were men who had walked with Jesus. They were part of the company. They could just walk into the presence of all these apostles who had been hiding and who had been going through all this consternation and all this turmoil. And they could walk up to him. They did later. They walked back and met with them and said, we saw him. We saw him. He's alive. They can meet with him. They were believers in Jesus Christ. But they didn't have everything right. Because they refused. They were slow to believe all that the prophets had said. I've said it several times this morning, and I'll say it many more times as we go along and any more times that I get to preach. You need to be careful about what God's Word says, all of it. There's some things I do not understand. And I know I would have loved to have been there at that conversation on that walk to Emmaus that day to hear Jesus explain all of the prophecies concerning himself and his glory and his death and his burial and his resurrection and all of these things that he says the prophets had said this. But even while he was telling his disciples, while he was living with them before he came to his death, they didn't believe it. Why? They had a bias against it. They were looking for a kingdom. They were looking for somebody to free them from the Romans and free them from the captivity that they've had for so many years. They wanted something so they could be glorious. Even James and John asked Jesus, why can we be number one and number two in your kingdom? They were looking for the glory. And Jesus said, you don't know what you're doing. If Peter, James, and John had paid attention when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah appeared to him and they were talking about his death. All the information they needed. It was all right at their fingertips, but they were slow to believe it, and God called them fools. That hurts me. I'm sorry. That bothers me. I don't want to be a fool before God. I don't want to be a fool that said, I told you this. I told you. I told you. I told you, Eddie. But you wouldn't listen. You just ignored what I said. How many times do we do that? Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. You believe the harvest is great? Really? I mean, I'm looking at me, looking at my actions, my thinking, my way of doing things, and I wonder, do I really believe the harvest is great? Jesus said it. Oh, I believe it. What are you doing about it? Are you number one praying for laborers to go into the harvest? That's what he said to do. That's the number one thing he said to do. And then he said, I'm going to send you out. I want you to go out as laborers. I want you to reap men. I want you to be a fishers of men. I want you to bring souls to Jesus Christ. I want you to testify of me. Do you really believe the harvest truly is great? Or like me so many times, I think, well, nobody wants to listen to me. It's a waste of my time to go knocking on doors. Waste of my time to pass out tracts. It's a waste of my time to talk to people. And so I sit there and I watch TV. I sit there and I do something else, or I work on something around the house. I do this or I do that. And all of a sudden, weeks have passed and months have passed and maybe years have passed, and I haven't shared the gospel with people who needed to hear it. God, help me. Do you believe in hell? Is hell a motivator? It should be. The rich man told Abraham, I am tormented in this flame. Jesus said it's a place where the fire is not quenched and their worm dieth not, and they're in torment, they're gnashing their teeth, they're crying out in agony because they went to hell and they've got no escape from it, and there'll never be an escape from it. God's going to send them there into the lake of fire, and we can change that. Do you believe in hell? How much? I don't like hell. I don't like the subject of it. Maybe I don't know enough, because God created hell. God says it's right. God's going to deal with it. I'm going to trust God for that. Maybe one day I'll understand, because one day I'm going to be with God completely in agreement, and I want to be there. But for now, I need to believe what he said about it, because other people need to be told. Remember what that rich man said? Send Lazarus to my father's house, because I have five brethren. My neighbors, people I meet, people I talk to. I've made it a point to start witnessing to my neighbors, trying to tell them. Most of them don't want to hear. That's fine. I'm going to keep trying. I need to get in my imagination, in my heart, in my understanding, a sense of hell. Because that's where they're going. If their house was on fire, would you call the fire department? If their house was on fire, would you knock on the door and tell them that something's wrong? If their house was burning, would you go in there and try and get their kids out? Would you tell them something about it? Is hell any better than that? No. Hell is a lot worse. We need to be concerned. Christ is coming. How much time do we spend looking for Christ? How much time do we spend living for ourselves, thinking, oh, well, it's not going to happen today? He says the time is at hand. He said several times in the last book of the Bible, he says, behold, I come quickly. We need to be looking for the return of Christ, because he's coming and he told us to look for it. Amen. The last thing I want to mention is in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I want to talk about the foolishness of preaching. This is the only place I can find in the Bible where foolishness is not a bad thing. Are you willing to be a fool for Jesus? Think how many times you've been a fool for yourself. Are you willing to be a fool for Jesus? I'm going to read this starting in verse 18, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, hath that not many wise men after the flesh, nor many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things which are mighty. We need to be fools for Christ. I'm going to end with that. The foolishness of preaching. I don't know how many times, I know it happens to me a lot. You're wasting your time. You've got more important things to do. You've got a whole list of honey-do things, little honey-do list things to do. You've got things you want to do. So many things can distract me. And somebody might think I'm silly if I'm telling them the gospel. They might not like what I say. They might not want to be my friend. They might reject me. They might give me a hard time. I haven't had any bottles thrown at me. I've never been attacked. I was with Brent one time. They threw a bottle at him, and he said, why weren't you in front of me? You're bigger than I am. I didn't know. Are you willing to be a fool to share the gospel of Jesus Christ? I need to be a fool for Jesus Christ. I need to put some time into being foolish for Jesus. If the world thinks it's foolish to preach Christ, and I can preach Christ and save them from hell, and I can save them and give them eternal life, and I can bring them to Jesus Christ, and I can point them to eternity where they can live forever, then that's a foolishness worth living. I think we ought to be more concerned, more worried about whether or not God calls us a fool or the world calls us a fool. Let the world call me a fool. I'll be a fool for Jesus. Let God call me a wise man. He that when the souls is wise, died Abner as a fool dieth. What are they going to put on your tombstone? Thank you.